The following is part one of Carl Wilson of Maine Department of Marine Resources speaking at the April 18, 2014 meeting of the Maine Pesticide Control Board on the plan to carry out sediment testing in Penobscot Bay and Casco Bay for pesticides. The meeting took place at the Maine Pesticide Control Board's headquarters in Augusta, Maine.
Okay, so I am the lead biologist, lobster biologist for the Department of Marine Resources. In that role, we've got a number of different monitoring programs that we try to track the lobster population through basically all phases of the life history. The one phase that we are missing is our larval phase. There was some work done in the 90s and early 2000s, but since that time, we have not dragged a net for larval lobsters. But we try to cover just about every other phase of the lobster life that we can get. Go ahead. Okay, so I wanted to give you a little overview of kind of how things have changed in lobsters. This isn't necessarily have a direct bearing on our conversations as far as pesticides and toxicity, but I think it gives trying to give a little perspective on what's coming for the conversation of lobsters and why it means so much. So next slide, please. So if we look, this is a movie, composite movie put together by the Northeast Science Center of our federal trawl survey data from 1968 through 2008. And basically, it's a color map of the higher intensity colors. So yellows and reds represents higher density levels or higher abundance levels based on the trawl survey data. And it's just trying to give the impression of what has changed since the late 60s. So if you swiggle the mouse a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we go back?
Yes, please.
Oh, swiggle the mouse.
Yeah, there should be a video in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and press the play.
And then hit the play. Just,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Oops. There we go.
Oops.
There we go.
Okay, so this is just a little movie showing in the early 70s, a lot of the population was concentrated here. As you get into the 80s, you'll start to see the inshore areas start to expand into the Gulf of Maine, southwest Nova Scotia. Late 90s, you start to see the large increase in the population. And then finishing up in the late 2000s, where really the Gulf of Maine is now the dominant portion of the lobster resource. About 80 to 95% of the lobsters that are landed in the United States come out of the Gulf of Maine, with Maine obviously the dominant state involved. Nova Scotia and Brunswick in the Bay of Fundy and southwest Nova Scotia here also have very large fisheries. Since this time series ended in 2008, landings in Maine have doubled. And so it's even more kind of extreme. Next slide, please. So our landings have gone from a relatively stable period of around 20 million pounds from the 1950s to the mid-1980s to now where we've now had 2 years consecutively over 120 million pounds, so almost a fivefold increase in landings.
How does that reflect either number of fishermen or number of traps?
Number of fishermen actually gone down. Number of fishermen started to escalate in the in the early 1990s, but the information the movie let loop that I just showed you is completely independent of the fishery. It's just numbers of lobsters on the bottom.
But landings, like, is there more traps out there?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and is that indicated with the numbers?
At this point, landings are a very good indicator of abundance. And so regardless of how much effort has gone into that, landings are for lobsters. We're a very high proportion of lobsters that are landed have just molted into the fishery. So it's called a recruitment fishery from that perspective. So it's a $350+ million fishery, and how that ranks through the United States, it's the second highest valued species in the United States in 2012, only behind sea scallops. I think if you add up all of the different Alaskan salmon species, then salmon would probably be number two. But to have lobster as number two is pretty amazing, actually, when you look at this, the scale of some of these other fisheries. What I take away with this is a very, very much a near coastal fishery. Approximately 70% of our landings come within 3 miles of shore. It's still primarily a day boat fishery. This is total U.S. landings. If we're at 350 million, and the total value is at 425 or so, so we're a significant over three quarters of the value of the U.S. fishery. So of that, 75% comes within Maine state waters. It's very much tied to a lot of our coastal communities. And so I think my question is, are we going to broaden our look beyond lobsters? I think lobsters obviously gains a lot of attention in this state. And so I think it, in some ways, constituents of lobsters, Patrice has been a fervent advocate for the lobster fishery and really has been always in these issues. And so I think for the better, the lobster fishery is well represented in a lot of these issues, but it doesn't mean that some of the other fisheries do not have just as dependent constituents as lobster does. So, okay, next slide, please. So if we think about the lobster life cycle, again, our whole point with our fisheries monitoring is to study lobsters from the time they first settle down to the bottom to the time that they enter the fishery. And while we're doing relatively well population numbers, these numbers get fed into a lot of our stock assessments for the Gulf of Maine. And we estimate parameters such as natural mortality. So if there was a significant mortality event, such as happened in southern New England, then we start to think about changes in natural mortality. So if there was, say, a significant change in the impact of pesticides on lobsters in the Gulf of Maine, then we might expect to see some mismatches between our different populations that we're looking through over time.